everyone, and welcome to the Mission Driven Show, Episode 1. The goal of this podcast is to surface the most important topics in the world today, the biggest problems and challenges, explain how they relate to investments and founding companies in today's world, and to talk about sustainability and what does it mean to be a mission-driven company. I can't wait to unpack these issues. Myself, my name is Elad Cohen. I'm the co-founder of Sapia and the co-host of the Mission Driven Show. And with me today are two of my best friends, co-hosts and co-founders, Sharon and Amir. Hi, guys.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. Super excited to be here.
Amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
So,
Let's start with the, I think we are always starting with the question. It's always about the question. So the question today that we ask ourselves when we started working together, we want to tackle the biggest problems out there. And our first question today, it's going to lead the whole podcast, I think, is what are the biggest problems in today's world and probably also the future of humanity? That is our starting point.
Yes. So what do you think is the biggest problem today?
You know, if you go to Google, it's easy. what will come up, it's people call it climate change. I think it's a fluffy word, especially this year. We can feel it. It's not a change. It's a crisis. For some people, it's a real crisis. Floods, fires. We live in Amsterdam. Take 15 years back, winter time, it's below zero. You have snow, you know, and the last year there was no snow. And it's in the last few years. So, okay, for me, maybe snow, it's not that harsh. But for some people, it means migration, food, not being able to live somewhere. And basically, that's the biggest problem today, if you think about it.
So to give it a name, climate crisis, right? And I think I love it because we talk about it all the time. And we're tech people, let's admit it. Like we didn't come from the world of nonprofit or charity, but we care about those issues. We care about them as people. We care about them as founders. And it's interesting to see all these angles. And I think what I loved when you talked about it earlier, you said, look, climate crisis is not just a problem with the weather. This impacts immigration. It impacts water and the resources availability. It impacts pandemics and how they spread in the world because we overpopulate the planet. We are starting to consume resources that we shouldn't in a way that we shouldn't use them. And then using energy, not in a proper way, we cause more pollution. And it's just a wide variety of issues that stem from that one big problem. So I think that it's interesting to look at it from an angle of this is really the biggest problem that we have today. And we need to tackle it not only as people, but also as business people. We are, and it's starting to happen, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm holding the book of Peter Thiel, 0 to 1, and the name of the book, the full name is Notes on Startups or How to Build the Future. And in today's world, when you look at our future, there is a lot of uncertainty. In the last 50 years, wildlife declined by 70%, which means we are losing the ecosystem that we are living in. And this could be maybe the last 2-3 generations of humankind. And when you think about it, I'm not going to discourage anyone or this is a, you know, everything is black, but we have the power to choose right. We can develop another app or we can think what's the real problems we need to solve. And what we see right now, a lot of great people, amazing, bright people, tech or not tech, commerce, politics, the majority still developing small things that in the future they are meaningless. And there are a small group of people that realize if this is the future, that means there is also a lot of money there. if you solve big problems. So even if you're cold-blooded, you don't care about anything, big problems and uncertain future means a lot of money.
Explain that. I want you to prove it. You say a big statement like that, and I think that, you know, we talk about it sometimes, but let's iron it out. Why do you think, even if you're cold-blooded and you don't care about it, how do you see that trend of investments into that?
So I think we're going to touch two stories that explain it deeply. And I want to start, two of them, it's Tesla. You already know Tesla. And the other one is Oatly. It's an oat milk product. And for us, I think it's explained the whole story. What do you say? Where should we start? Tesla or Oatly?
I don't know. I vote for Tesla. What do you say, Amir?
Let's go with Tesla.
Okay. So I'll give my opener because Tesla, it really boils my blood. I think the topic, what they did is super amazing and what they're doing is super amazing. But always when you hear about Tesla, the conversation is very gossipy. They talk about Elon Musk and did he smoke weed or he didn't? Did he tweet that? Did he tweet this? Is he insane? Does he have time for all his ventures? He's the real life Iron Man or whatever. But I think that the really interesting issue is this company grew 100x in 10 years. And Sharon, you found more interesting information about the EV market in the US. And I'm looking at that and I'm saying, wow, like this is one big revolution. It's a fucking revolution. How did it happen? It's not only because of Elon Musk's personality, not to take anything away from his personality. He's a genius, wonderful entrepreneur. But still, there's something big happening behind it. And I think it starts from tackling the biggest problem in the world, but there are more elements to it. What are your thoughts?
I think Amir has an additional take from China to tell some stories from China. I want to start with Tesla itself, and then we'll hear Amir's take. But when you think about it, Elon Musk especially, he said, okay, I'm going to tackle the biggest problem. It's money, it's energy, a part of its transportation, it's AI, it's the future of who we are as humans, and space, of course. And if you're cold-blooded, you don't care about anything, you look at the future and you're trying to understand, then this is the role of any entrepreneur and investment. Okay, how the future is going to look like, what people are going to buy, what they're going to need, and trying to translate it into a platform, product, service today. This is the job of any VC, any founder. And why not tackling the biggest problems? So in vision, in the future, is going to be autonomous cars and it's all going to be electric. Why? Because fossil fuels doesn't make sense anymore. It's limited resources. It's killing us. And yeah, we're going to do that. And you know, before that, there were electric cars. The first car was electric. There is no big change here. But the thing is, Tesla is the only brand saying, okay, we are mission-driven. And we're not going to touch it today. We're going to touch it probably in the next episode. We decide we're going to change the world. They're not selling cars. They're selling sustainability. And people love it. It's different design, different messaging. When you think about Ford or GM, you think about cars, right? But if you think about Tesla, it's about the future. So more and more entrepreneurs, brokers, investment, start to understand, okay, where is the big money? It's about solving those kind of problems because more and more people will need to use electric cars. It doesn't make sense to buy fossil fuel based car. So you will see more talent, resources, money, knowledge concentrate around those problems because that's what we're going to deal in the next 50, 100 years. And I think that's the reason they are leading a new conversation. We are a brand that's going to change the world, how you think about driving, what is a car, and what is the future. And that's a different conversation than any other brand out there. You know, everyone has, every brand today has an electric car. But when you think of one, you will think about Tesla. And Tesla is the market in the US, by the way. If you remove Tesla from the market didn't grow in the last 7-8 years. If you add Tesla, you will see growth in EV cars. So they became the market. And that's amazing. And I think that's what happened when you concentrate your discussion, conversation, brand around sustainability. Suddenly you can grow 10x. But I think it's also interesting to, because Amir also is very involved in this conversation of sustainability. And he read a couple of interesting articles about China. And I'm really keen to hear his take about what's going on with the cars and sustainability.
Yeah, so for me, Tesla is an inspiring story. And again, I think we do need, as Elad said, to kind of strip away all the gossips and the actual personality of Elon Musk. I think the story here is much bigger than Elon Musk himself. And you know, it's exactly as you described. I often sit and watch interviews, old interviews of Elon Musk asking him all kind of questions. And if you watch them in the course of 20 plus years, and you see how he talks and which questions he raises and which business actions he actually does, then you learn a lot. So indeed, the first action he did was asking what's the biggest problem, and one of the answers he had was the way we at the moment use fossils and what he does to the environment. Now, he doesn't really talk about the climate change. This is interesting. He doesn't take that angle, but everything that he does in Tesla is kind of trying to attack that, to solve that problem from a different point of view. Now, if we go back 20 years when the company started at the beginning, that was just a fiction movie. What are you talking about? That guy wasn't one of the people that people like looked up to and said he's going to be the new voice of the world, and it looked like just a nonsense for everybody. But he had something very clear in mind. He said, listen, we don't have any choice. Either you like it or not, we need to change this industry. We got to do that. And I have a vision. And his vision was that he wants to create an electric car and make that as the default out there. So you don't see those normal cars that consume fossils and all of that. He doesn't want to see that. And he wants to see a different future. And fast forward 20 years now, this is not only his conversation. If you look out there, you see that all the big countries, United States, China, the EU, and so on, are investing a lot of money into that. They're already seeing the future. Together with Elon Musk and other companies, everybody kind of understand that that is one of the biggest problems we're facing now. And you know what? We can actually also do something about that. And this is something maybe we haven't mentioned, but today we realize that we can do something about that. We can recycle bottles that we buy. We can buy an electric car instead of a normal car. We can do that. There are solutions. And I think that that is the future. Now, at the moment, Elon Musk is talking about a vision of 10 years ahead, 2030, more or less, where we are living in a world where 50% of the car that are being manufactured will be electric. Now, that is crazy. This is like a Disney story. This is like the good ending. It's going to happen. We are already there. There is no discussion, not like, it's going to happen. And we see that company grows, and we see a lot of companies around that. Again, this is not only Tesla. We chose Tesla as a story to trigger that. But there is much more around that. And for me, it's just inspiring. And I believe in that. And I think that when I look at ourselves as a company, we kind of want to stay the same. We want to ask, what's the biggest question? We want to know that we can solve that and then solve that.
Yeah, I think that the point is being an entrepreneur today and an investor means you need to understand what is the future and what are the biggest things to tackle. And we don't have any other choices than look at sustainability and trying to solve part of this problem. And you will see it in China and EU and US. It will happen eventually. There is some problems there. But governments have money. They are dedicating a lot of money and institution to solve those kind of problems. So definitely I will say, if I need to build a brand today, a company, a service, a product, sustainability needs to be in the core. And that's the difference between Mercedes and Tesla. Sustainability, it's in the core of the business. If you're selling, if you're asking me what Tesla is selling, it's the future, it's sustainability. They're not selling cars. And then you realize mission-driven and storytelling is stronger than anything else. I'm not going to touch it today, but this is the beginning of our next conversations. Brands that build themselves around amazing stories, big problems, and manage to build a conversation, new conversation, and change, because this is hard. Let you say, 20 years ago, it was impossible. And now this is the reality. So it's hard to be an investor and entrepreneur now because you need to envision the future. And it's easy to take the easiest app, the easiest problem that everybody's trying to tackle, like how the future is going to look like. And I think that's why we are here today, to expose this kind of new conversation. Companies, investors need to think about those problems.
Yeah. So I want to play devil's advocate for a second. Actually, let's start with a quote. So Peter Thiel and Bruce Gibney, they wrote a manifesto nearly a decade ago, and it's called What Happened to the Future. And there's a subtitle, and it says, we wanted flying cars. Instead, we got 140 characters, which is like a reference to Twitter, yeah? And it's like, what happened, right? We were supposed to build this amazing future. Instead, we're focusing on stuff like social media. Now, one cannot help but wonder, as an investor, as an entrepreneur, it's like, okay, I agree with you. I want to tackle those issues. But there are other trends that are happening that I can harvest now. I can make money from that. I can mobilize resources. Maybe it will give me more resources to tackle the bigger issues in the future. Maybe we can clone another company's business model or build another social network or another marketplace. I think we were also kind of captivated in that mindset, maybe at the beginning, but we changed it. So I'd love to hear both of you, your takes on it. Like, how do you see it? It's already started happening. There are resources. I think Amir found statistics about how much percentage of the money in the world is going to tackle those big issues of sustainability. How do you see it?
You know, what Peter Thiel said, it's so true. And it's not because we are bad. We are byproduct of our environment. And everybody around you is building the next app for marketing or another social media feature. It's easy. It's very easy and convenient to do the default. It's hard to imagine something that doesn't exist, like electric car. Okay, nobody really wants to buy it. It doesn't exist. You don't know how to solve it. There are a lot of problems. So I don't blame anyone. It's human thought, like what's around me, I will use it. It's hard for me to see something that doesn't exist. And I think that's also part of the problem of sustainability. We didn't feel the impact for a couple of decades. Suddenly, everyone can feel it. Either it's your weather or food or pricing or a pandemic. It's all related to human behavior. So I think that will change more and more. People will have this kind of experience. Okay, this is real. This is not a report of some NGO. This is real. It's happening to me, to my family, maybe in California, maybe in Australia. It's real. So And that also explains why Elon Musk is so successful, because in investing in the future, and that's our role, founders, investors, what is the future? And right now, our future is in danger. So that's my take. And we have more example of that. Tesla is just one of them. But we started because everybody knows Tesla. And if you unpack the success, you realize what's behind it. Okay, so let's move on. I want to touch the maybe the Oatly story. Because the Oatly story encapsulates everything that we said. Oatly is just oats with water. That's it. And 8 years ago, there were a new CEO came and they repositioned, rebrand themselves. You can say, okay, that's fine. It's happening to a lot of company. But they grew 10x in a very crowded market with a very traditional product. This is like a milk alternative across countries and cultures. The tipping point is a few weeks, months ago, Blackstone decided to invest in Oatly. And in their press release, they shared what is the reason behind investing in Oatly, which is just a product, a simple product in a way. There is no, you know, it's like Tesla technology and patents that we can also discuss about. But why? And they say two things, sustainability and mission-driven companies. So they realize, they ask themselves, okay, I'm going to put money somewhere. I only care about returns. Some of you can say Blackstone is evil. It's not a point. Maybe they are cynical. That's fine. I don't know. The point is they're asking themselves 10 years from now, what's going to be the biggest trend in the world? What's people going to buy, care about? They're going to care about sustainability. Consumer already care about it. It's the fastest growing segment, I will say, in the world. We care about planet Earth. We care about our community. Black Lives Matter. Those kind of movements, people start to understand they're connecting and they need to connect. And Blackstone understand this. So a brand that focus, that's the only business, by the way, that's their mission statement. We are all about sustainability. And by the way, we're also selling oat milk. So Blackstone made a statement and signaled to the world, listen, the future is about two things. Sustainability and mission-driven companies. Now, if you're an investor, start asking yourself, okay, what is my investment thesis?
Yeah, and I want to jump in and add a few things here. I think that it boils down to thinking small, thinking big, because eventually there is no question if the sustainability industries exist or not. It does exist. And the question is, how big or small do you see that? And in reality, if you would ask that question 20 years ago or 30 years ago, the answer would be nowhere. That's like the hippie industry. You'll have some companies, some new products, it will be nice, and that's it. But what you've seen in the past years, the trends from both government and the big investment funds is that the money goes there. And when I say there is green energy, sustainable companies, companies that talk only about mission, and Blackstone is just one of them. And just to give, like, throw a few numbers, and we already know that China today, China is the leading government when it comes to green energy. They have a law that basically guides all the manufacturers in the country that says that you need to create 8% of your production should be electric cars. This is under the electric cars industry. And that maybe sounds like a small number, 8%, but when you start to think about what happens next year when it's like 12% and then 13% and so on and so forth, you see that it's just happening. And the government is pushing that. And they're not just placing laws, they have also funding around that. And you see that I saw someone publish a blog talks about the sustainability investment, and he claims that 30% of the investments today are already in that industry. So this is why I'm saying, for me, it's like the game of thinking small, thinking big. So if you just want to have a bit more revenues and you want to continue to increase your amount of clients and so on and so forth, that's fine to just create yet another tool. That is totally fine. But for me, it's just thinking small. And as an investor, you got to think big. You cannot think small. It just doesn't work. The risk is too big. And the biggest industry today that is underutilized is everything that is under sustainability. And there are a lot of different products in it. It's not only green energy. It's not. It relates to food, to healthcare, to everything that we have around us. Thinking small, thinking big.
Yeah, totally. So Blackstone story, investing into Oatly, they put in $200 million into Oatly. And when I tell people about it, who were not aware of this news, the first thing they say, what, Blackstone, these guys invest in companies that do deforestation. How did that even happen? You know, they look at it from that angle. And it's very interesting. You know, it's really one of the largest private equities in the world. Clearly, they know what they're doing in terms of investment. So they're looking into that. It started happening. And yet, when we view it as people, we can't help but say, oh, maybe it's just a PR twist. And I think that it's way deeper than that. And what I loved about it is how we attended the last Oatly live session. They did it on Instagram. And someone from the audience, from the participants, asked Tony Peterson, the CEO of Oatly, that question, like, how did you sell out? How did you take an investment for a company like Blackstone? How dare you? I thought Oatly was different. And I love what this guy did. He was phased. He didn't lose his cool. He looked at the camera and he said, listen, this is a big problem. If we actually want to solve everything that we're talking about today, these sustainability issues, they cost $100 trillion. Did you hear that? $100 trillion. How are we going to do it without harnessing the power of the largest investment fund in the world? We have to signal to other investors, to public markets, and to consumers that everyone is changing, including the investors. And I love that. And that reframing is exactly what we need to do. That's thinking big versus thinking small. And that will dictate also our decisions, our why, and how we even build solutions and companies as founders.
Yeah, I agree. Coming together, understand this challenge is huge. You cannot do it alone. You need to think big. And it's challenging because we're going to invent stuff that doesn't exist right now. It's mindsets and frameworks that nobody think about them today. Like, just thinking about Oatly as a change maker. Somebody is making a drink as a change maker. This is like unprecedented. Blackstone investing in a small product out there. I think that's a statement more than anything else. But if you take it even a step further, and I think there's going to be finalize our discussion around Tesla and Oatly. Tesla decided to release all their patents. Now you can say, you know, it's a marketing stunt. No, it's not a marketing stunt. We think that they saying, okay, we want to make this market bigger. It's going to be the leading market for cars. The only way to do that is together. You can use our patents. It's going to increase the market. It's going to increase collaboration. It's going to increase the technology advancement. And you see other companies doing the same. There is one brand, Sustainable Shoes. It's called Allbirds, that grew from zero to nothing in, I think, 2-3 years to $100 million sales or something like that. And they also released their patents. Why? Because they understand I'm going to lead this conversation and I'm going to create this market And because we are creating something and it's going to be big and we need a lot of money, we invite more people, entities, company, investors, whatever you call it, to this new market. And
look, let's be honest. Let's be honest. Yeah, there is a business logic behind this decision as well, because what they say is they're aware that if more, they have the leading technology in their space, and they're aware that if more people will use it, the cost of materials will be cheaper, the infrastructure will be cheaper, and they, so the market will grow and they will still be the category kings. So it definitely plays with their benefit as an individual business, but I agree with you wholeheartedly, full 100%, that there is more behind it. It's not only a business decision. You can't make this decision if you're thinking in a traditional way, the way we were taught when we were brought up to think about business, protect your IP and, you know, destroy your competition. You need new frames of mind to think through these challenges. And what you just mentioned is one of them, right? It's just what Tesla did, what Allbirds did.
Yeah, true. And what we're going to do in this podcast is to unpack this new mindset, invite more people to this conversation. We believe the future is about sustainability. It's about storytelling. It's about connecting. It's about drawing a lot of attention, people, money, to this new framework. And above all this, it's about creating mission-driven companies. Companies that in their core is to change the world. It's not, you know, we have this kind of new page in our website. We also do some social things and we care about the environment. No, no, no. Tesla, Oatly, Patagonia, Allbirds, and there are more of those kind of commercial brands. They say, our business is mission-driven. Our business is changing the world. We are storytellers first. We're going to create new categories, new markets. And that's require founders and investors to start think differently on money, on future. Definitely when our future is in danger, we need to make different choices. Everyone, what you're going to eat tomorrow, what you're going to buy, where are you going to put your money and time? And that's the podcast is all about.
Yeah, you know, just to as a reminder, I think that a mission-driven company, this is exactly like the higher level of this conversation. First of all, this is the biggest trend I see out there. More and more mission-driven companies like Tesla and others that are doing that. And if we talk again about Blackstone investment in Oatly, again, they said that what they see in Oatly is the mission-driven, is a mission-driven company. This is what sparked their eyes. They see something that is much stronger than maybe having the market, like 90% of the products are theirs or something. It's much stronger. It's bigger. There is something that is that has much more potential in a mission-driven company that states that we want to change the world. We want to make a better world here that everybody sees. If I will try to summarize that, because that's also a reflection process for us guys, right? And I see the same kind of pattern all the time with those organizations that already are being successful out there. They ask themselves, what's the biggest problem out there? Something that we can relate, of course. And they tackle that full 100%. They don't care about anything else. And what defined them as a company, that's the mission-driven term in a way, that what drives you as a business is not the revenue, even though you're here to make money, right? Let's be honest about that. Elon Musk, the Oatly guys, they want to make money as well, right? But what drives the company, the fuel, the motivation, is actually a mission. And a mission that is aimed to make a better world. And that has a big effect on everybody, from the CEO to the investor to every person that works in those organizations. They wake up in the morning, they come to the office, maybe not in those days when we have Corona, but they wake up with a different mindset. They are not producing the milk.
Yeah. Even if you buy the stock.
Exactly that. You're not just buying another stock. You're actually making a better world here. You have a bigger context. And that is beautiful for me, and that is inspiring for me.
That's the next topic we're going to unpack. What does it mean, mission-driven? Because I think people start to look at it and embrace this new term. And it requires a lot of change. But that's for the next episode.
Wow. So a lot to look forward to. So more interesting topics. We're going to unpack what does it mean to be a mission-driven company. We're going to talk more about sustainability. We're going to have guests on this podcast, investors, entrepreneurs, companies, friends, people who care about those issues. And we're going to tackle it from the angle of business also. So it's not only going to be about the mission or what to do about it, but also we're in the business of tech. We have a tech company. We are also tackling that issue, and it will be interesting to get different perspectives. How do people look into that? How do they solve it? How do they think about it? That's it.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.